بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected friends and elders, among the very high-ranking tabi'een, among the very high-ranking students of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, was Imam Qadi Shureyh rahimahullah. Qadi Shureyh rahimahullah was a tabi'i, meaning a student of the Sahaba. But in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he was already appointed as a judge and as a qadi. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu also used to refer to him for judgments. He was a very high-ranking scholar of Islam. Qadi Shureyh rahimahullah mentions, إِنِّي لَأُصَابُ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ. Sometimes I suffer some loss. Sometimes I am afflicted with some calamity in the world. I suffer some worldly loss. فَأَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهَا أَرْبَعَ مَرَّاتٍ أَشْكُرُهُ. But I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala four times, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala four times after a musibat. Generally after a calamity, some person suffered some loss in his business, somebody got some harm in his car, some person was maybe hijacked or robbed, Allah save us and protect everyone. But then generally we tend to be saddened, and it's natural, and we tend to sometimes whine and complain. Here, Qadi Shureyh rahimahullah is teaching us that he says, I actually thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make shukr to Allah four times. In other words, for four reasons. Number one, إِذْ لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمَ مِمَّا هِ. First, I ponder to myself and think it could have been worse. And since Allah didn't make it worse than what it was, I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say Alhamdulillah, I praise Allah for that out of shukr and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever any calamity befalls us, then the first thing we should think and console ourselves with is that it could have been worse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us from it being worse. Then we will turn this into a valuable situation. We will turn this into a means of benefit for us, by us getting additional reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being grateful to Allah from the heart for that condition. Then he says, secondly, إِذْ رَزَقَنِيَ الصَّبْرَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah gives me the tawfiq to be patient, then I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ وَفَّقَنِيَ الْإِسْتِرْجَاعِ. If Allah gives me tawfiq to recite, then إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ لِمَا أَرْجُوهُ فِيهِ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised reward for those who are patient, those who recite إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. In Quran Allah says, and give glad tidings and good news to those who are patient. Who are those who are patient? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. When they are afflicted with any calamity, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah promises for these people, أَصَّلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Are mercies and special mercies, choice mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Those who get tawfiq to be patient and to say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, at the time of musibah and calamity, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These are the ones who are on hidayat, they are upon guidance. So he says, if Allah gives me tawfiq to be patient and to make sabr, if Allah gives me tawfiq to say the inna lillah, then I am happy with that condition. I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that calamity, that it became a means of me getting additional reward through my sabr and inna lillah. And fourthly, he says, وَإِذْ لَمْ تَكُنْ وَإِذْ لَمْ يَجْعَلْهَا فِي دِينِي. And when I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brought this calamity upon me, but it's a calamity that has got to do with my dunya, not my deen. It's a worldly loss. It's a loss of some worldly item. He says, then also I make shukr to Allah. I praise Allah. I say Alhamdulillah out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also, some ulama have reported that he mentioned something very similar. He says, I take consolation. I take consolation from every musibah in three ways. Number one, أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمَ مِمَّا كَانَتْ. It wasn't worse than it was. وَأَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. It wasn't a musibah to do with my deen. And وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْتِ الْأَجْرَ الْجَزِيلَ عَلَى الصَّبْرِ عَلَيْهَا. And that Allah will give great reward if I am patient. Whenever any calamity of the dunya befalls me, I ponder over these three things, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says. And I take solace, and I feel consoled. From here, respected friends and elders, one great lesson for us is to see how the Salaf and the pious predecessors and our elders and our Akabir, rahimahumullah, used to ensure that they protect themselves from any musibat in their deen. Qadi Shurih says, if it wasn't a musibat in my deen, I say Alhamdulillah. I make shukr to Allah for that kind of a musibah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says that if it's not a musibat in my deen, I take solace from this. I am consoled that Alhamdulillah, this is nothing in comparison to a musibat in my deen. Respected friends and elders, what is musibat in deen? What is a calamity in deen? When a person misses his salat, it's a calamity in his deen. When a person disobeys the command of Allah in any other way, he breaks his fast unnecessarily, it's a calamity in his deen. He failed to give his zakat meticulously, it's a calamity in his deen. He is cheating in his business and lying, it's a calamity in his deen. He is engaged in any other form of haram income, it's a calamity in his deen. He is feeding his children haram, it's a calamity in his deen. On a night like Laylatul Qadr, this person is deprived, it's a calamity in his deen. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah mentions, he says, ulama say regarding people who on the nights like 15th of Sha'ban or Laylatul Qadr, etc., if a person is forgiven on that night, then they say that hani anlak, so nice for you, congratulations to you, this is a great achievement. وَيَا أَيُّهَا الْمَحْرُومُ فِيهَا. And oh, that person who has been deprived on a night like that, on a Mubarak night, and oh, that person who has been deprived of Allah's mercy when Allah's mercy is now flooding in the earth. That person who is deprived on that night, the words of the ulama are, جَبَرَ اللَّهُ مُسِيبَتَكْ فَإِنَّهَا مُسِيبَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mend your calamity. May Allah make it easy for you in the time of calamity, because this is a great calamity. The calamity in your deen, the calamity of being deprived of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, this is a calamity in deen, respected friends and elders. Let us look into our lives. What have we prioritized? When do we feel worse off? When we suffer some loss of the world or loss of deen, like in these few examples. In the life of Salafi Saliheen, one person missed his salatul jamaat. Our pious predecessors and elders of today also considered that also to be a musibat. He says, فَاتَتْنِي الصَّلَاةُ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. I missed my salatul jamaat, that from the whole town only one person came to console me. He was saying this, lamenting. He says, only one person came to console me. He says, وَلَوْ مَاتَ لِي وَلَدْ. If my son had to die, then thousands would have come to console me. He says, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ مُسِيبَةَ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَهُمْ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ مُسِيبَةِ الدِّينِ. That is because the people regard the musibat and calamity of the world to be graver, to be more serious, to be worse than the calamity of one's deen. Whereas it's actually the opposite, respected friends and elders. And especially in the era we live in now, if you look around us, then a very great challenge in this dunya now today, respected friends and elders, is the challenge of Islamophobia. Whether it be in the media or any other way, it is becoming a challenge for people to remain Muslim. If a person is used to selling the commands of Allah, if a person is used to the calamities in deen, he is used to missing his salat, he is used to speaking lies and earning his wealth, he is used to keeping his shop open and not going for salat, this is a person who is suffering a calamity in deen repeatedly every day. And to him it made no difference. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, respected friends and elders. It may become easy for this person also to give up his deen in entirety. There are places in the dunya where people, through because of them being victims of their circumstances, and we are saying this to take a lesson, not to belittle any people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us and save the Muslims throughout the globe. But there are people in the dunya, because of this Islamophobia, have now given up their deen completely. There are some who had sunnat beard, they were wearing sunnat libas, but because of some incident, and because of Islam and Muslims being painted wrongfully, badly in the media, now the man takes off his beard. I know people personally like this, respected friends and elders. He says, no, I don't want to be recognized as a Muslim now. There are people who, because of that circumstance that they are in, now in their workplace, they change their name. He's a Muslim. He's got a Muslim name. But he doesn't want to be called by that Muslim name in his workplace, because he's scared to be identified as a Muslim. He's scared for the backlash that will follow thereafter. Respected friends and elders, if we prioritize our deen, then no matter what will come, like the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, outright offers were made. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu's incident is famous, that when he was captured as the leader of his Jamaat and his army by the Romans, he was made that offer, that take half the kingdom plus the princess, the daughter of the ruler in marriage, to give up your deen, to give up Iman, to give up Islam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu totally refused. And they all refused. And when he was taken to be killed, he began to cry. And then they thought maybe he has softened up. Then they asked him, why are you crying? He says, I'm not crying because I'm scared to die. I am crying because I only got one life to give like this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I had lives equal to the number of hair on my body, I would have given each one like this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great lesson, respected friends and elders, for us today in this world that we are living in. That Deenul Islam and every command of Islam, no command of Islam will be sacrificed for any material gain. Once a person makes that a habit of his, the command of Allah is being sacrificed one after the other for material gain. Then tell me, respected friends and elders, what's going to stop that person when the great test and that great challenge presents itself in front of him? When the choice has to be made for Deenul Islam or the dunya, when the choice has to be made that either you suffer in your dunya but remain on deen. Like is happening, respected friends and elders, in so many parts of the world where Muslims are now victims of their circumstances, maybe because of war, because of drought, because of natural disasters and calamities, then many of the non-Muslim charitable organizations, many of the missionaries go there, and then they tempt the people. Many incidents in Africa and other parts of the world as well. They are tempted that if you want, then you must come to the church. If you want, then you accept Jesus as God, and then we'll give you food. Then we'll give you medical treatment. Then we'll sort out your problems. But if you remain on Islam, then there is nothing for you. At that time, respected friends and elders, what will be the response of that person who is too used to? He is too used to sacrificing his deen, slaughtering the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not sacrificing and not compromising on his dunya. What's going to be the response of a person like that? This is the message that we need to imbibe even in our children, respected friends and elders. We see our akabir and our seniors that admissing the first saf in salah, they regard that to be a musibat. We hear them saying inna lillah because they missed the takbiri ula. They came when the imam already finished surah Fatiha. For that is inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Did we ever regard that to be a musibat in our lives? Did we regard even missing the entire salatul jamaat as a musibat, or the entire salat totally, respected friends and elders? I remember growing up, my beloved father, Hafizahullah, may Allah give him complete shifa and strength and good health. If you maybe scratch the car, if you cause some taklif in dunya, you wouldn't get much of a backlash. But if you became the cause of him missing his salatul jamaat, or you became the cause of him being late for salatul jamaat, he's not the imam, you're visiting somewhere, and you became the cause, then respected friends and elders, you'll hear about this on end for the rest of the day. That you became the cause and I asked you to check and you're supposed to know the time for salat and you delayed me and I got late for my salat. Because, respected friends and elders, that is our priority in life. And these are life lessons that we ought to be passing on to our next generation. Once we leave this dunya, when that test will present itself, we don't know whether we will be alive and whether we will be able to withstand it or not. And our children as well, respected friends and elders. That person who regards this to be a musibat, missing salat, or violating a command of Allah, not fulfilling a command, or missing a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he truly regards that to be a musibat, that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person regrets from his heart that, you know, I suffered this loss in my deen, loss in the form of committing some wrong, or I missed my salat, or I spoke wrong, I looked at somebody who I'm not supposed to look at, I spoke to someone who I'm not supposed to speak at, and then he feels that regret and remorse in the heart, that in itself sometimes is sufficient for his tawbah. The hadith mentions, النَدْمُ تَوْبَةً. Regret is actually tawbah. This is the kind of regret that the hadith is referring to. When a man regards that to be a musibat, when he regards that to be a loss, and he feels sad for disobeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that automatically now through that, inshallah, that sin of his also will be expiated and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding, respected friends and elders. Yes, we know, but have we really understood the priority of our deen? Have we really understood that the calamity in deen is much, much, much worse than the calamity of dunya? The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we hear many times in the fadail of salat, that man fatathu salatul asr, and some riwayat, man fatathu salatun. That person who misses his asr salat, or that person who misses any salat, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلَهُ وَمَالُهُ. It's like a person who has lost his entire wealth and family. The same lesson here in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the calamity of your deen, missing one salat, is like a person who lost everything. Imagine how much of pity we take on that person. What a great calamity, what a great loss. But that is loss of the dunya. Loss of the dunya, inshallah, with days passing on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the conditions. Loss of deen, respected friends and elders. What guarantee do we have that we will make tawbah? What guarantee do we have that we will make that qada of that salat? What guarantee do we have that we will make up for it? So this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a glaring lesson on this topic, that a person misses one salat also. He's like somebody who has lost his entire wealth. Not a person whose business suffered and now he was able to reopen another shop. Or not that person who was involved in an accident and he lost two children and he has two more who are surviving. No, respected friend and elder. That person who has lost everything, his wife, all his children, all his belongings, everything, for example, was burned down and he's got nothing. All he owns is the clothes on his body. How much of pity will take on a person like that? The hadith says that amount of pity is deserving for that person who misses only one salat and has this calamity in his deen. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.